What if I told you that in just over a decade, a single industry could consume one-fifth of all electricity in the United States? That's the forecast for AI data centers by 2035. 20% of the grid, just for AI. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking the sheer physical scale of the artificial intelligence boom. It's not just about code anymore. It's about concrete, power grids, and a multi-trillion-dollar supply chain. We'll look at the incredible energy demands of AI, the semiconductor war heating up between TSMC, NVIDIA, and AMD, and how new enterprise AI agents are ready to automate your business processes right now. We'll finish with a critical regulatory update from the EU that impacts any company using generative AI.
It's a week where the digital and physical worlds collide. The implications for Western manufacturing, supply chains, and corporate strategy are immediate and profound.
Troy, let's start with that staggering energy statistic. A Bloomberg NEF report predicts AI data centers will consume 20% of U.S. electricity by 2035. That's up from a projected 12% in 2030. What is driving this incredible demand?
The short answer is computational intensity. Training and running large language models require immense power. We're talking about individual AI data centers needing up to 1 GW of power, a huge leap from traditional facilities. This is forcing an estimated $7 trillion investment in data center construction and upgrades between 2025 and 2030 alone.
$7 trillion. So how does this specifically affect a U.S. or European manufacturer who isn't building data centers?
Two ways: cost and opportunity. First, this puts immense strain on national power grids, which means higher and more volatile electricity prices for everyone. European manufacturers, already sensitive to energy costs, must now model AI's impact into their long-term operational budgets. Second, it creates a massive market for specialized industrial goods. We're seeing huge demand for advanced liquid cooling systems, both direct-to-chip and immersion cooling, as well as high-power density server racks. This is a major opportunity for industrial tech companies.
And what about trading companies and distributors? Where's the play for them?
They need to watch the site selection strategies of major developers like CyrusOne and QTS Data Centers. These companies are striking deals with utility providers and local governments to secure power and water. Sourcing and distributing the components for these new builds, from power distribution units to specialized cooling hardware, is a rapidly growing market. Understanding where these multi-billion-dollar facilities are being built is key to getting ahead of the supply chain.
So the actionable insight for executives.
If you're a heavy energy user, start planning for sustained price increases and potential grid instability. If you're in the industrial technology space, evaluate how your product portfolio aligns with the needs of next-generation data centers. The demand is not speculative. It's here now.
That infrastructure build-out is all to house the chips, which brings us to the heart of the supply chain, TSMC. They just posted a record $22 billion profit for Q2 2026, a 77% surge year-over-year, all thanks to AI.
That's right, and they're reinvesting heavily. TSMC has committed an additional $100 billion to its fabs in Arizona and is increasing its total capital expenditure to $64 billion for the year. High-performance computing, which is mostly AI chips, now accounts for 66% of their revenue.
The most interesting part to me was the focus on a specific bottleneck, CoWoS. What is it, and why is it so important?
CoWoS stands for a chip on wafer on substrate. It's an advanced packaging technology that allows chip makers to stack high-bandwidth memory, or HBM, directly alongside the processor. It's the critical link that enables the performance of today's top AI accelerators. The current AI chip shortage isn't just about silicon wafers. It's a severe bottleneck in CoWoS capacity.
So how does TSMC's expansion of CoWoS affect U.S. and European companies that make, well, anything other than chips?
For manufacturers who use AI in their design, simulation, or robotics, this is crucial. TSMC's plan to boost CoWoS capacity by over 50% by 2027 means the supply of essential AI hardware from NVIDIA and AMD should improve. This could lower the cost and increase the availability of the computing power they rely on. For European and U.S. tech firms, TSMC's $100 billion investment in Arizona is a major move to de-risk the semiconductor supply chain from geopolitical tensions in the Pacific.
And for trading companies sourcing this hardware?
They should anticipate that the lead times for high-end GPUs will remain long for at least the next 18-24 months. The new capacity from TSMC's two new packaging plants in Taiwan won't come online overnight. Locking in orders now is critical, but they should also be tracking the progress of the Arizona fabs as a future, more resilient sourcing location.
Actionable insight?
Executives need to treat high-performance computing as a strategic commodity. Secure your future needs now, and for those in the tech supply chain, begin building relationships with the ecosystem growing around TSMC's Arizona operations. This is a long-term shift in global manufacturing.
This brings us perfectly to the chip designers themselves. It looks like the competition is intensifying, with AMD making a direct play against NVIDIA.
It certainly is. This week, AMD unveiled its new Instinct MI455X AI accelerator. The headline feature is that it will pack 432 gigabytes of the next-generation HBM4 memory. To put that in perspective, that's 1.5 times the 288 gigabytes expected in NVIDIA's next-generation Rubin GPU.
NVIDIA also detailed its Rubin architecture, focusing on something called an offload engine for KV cache. Can you translate that for us?
Of course. When a large language model is running, it creates a key-value cache in memory to remember the context of the conversation. This KV cache can grow very large and consume a huge amount of expensive GPU memory. NVIDIA's offload engine is a dedicated piece of hardware designed to manage this cache more efficiently, freeing up the main processing cores and precious HBM. It's all about inference efficiency.
So we have AMD competing on raw memory capacity and NVIDIA competing on architectural efficiency. What does this mean for US and European manufacturers who are the end users of this technology?
It means more choice and specialization. A manufacturer running massive simulations or training complex multimodal AI might favor the huge memory of AMD's MI455X. A company deploying AI for real-time customer service or logistics routing might benefit more from the inference efficiency of NVIDIA's Rubin. This competition should, over time, lead to better performance per dollar.
What should distributors be telling their enterprise clients?
They need to move beyond selling a generic AI server. The conversation must be about the specific workload. Is the client's primary bottleneck compute, or is it memory bandwidth? The bill of materials for these accelerators is now dominated by HBM, projected to be 62% of the cost for Rubin. Distributors who understand these technical trade-offs can provide far more value and guide clients to the right architecture.
So the key action item?
Don't just buy the most famous brand. Engage your technical teams to benchmark workloads against both AMD and NVIDIA platforms. The performance differences for your specific use case could be substantial. The era of a one-size-fits-all AI accelerator is over.
Moving from hardware to software, it seems the race is now on to build AI agents that don't just chat, but actually do things within a business. OpenAI just launched a platform called Presence. What is it?
Presence is OpenAI's new enterprise AI agent platform. The goal is to move beyond chatbots to create reliable AI agents that can execute high-value workflows. These agents can answer questions, but also interact with corporate systems like a CRM or ERP, solve problems, and escalate to a human operator when necessary. It's about automating entire business processes.
And they're not alone. We also saw news that Salesforce's Agentforce and Zendesk AI are doing similar things.
Exactly. These aren't research projects. They are commercial products. Salesforce Agentforce can automate lead qualification and follow-ups by integrating natively with Salesforce data. Zendesk AI is enhancing support teams with automated ticket routing and generating suggested agent responses. This is about delivering measurable productivity gains in core business functions like sales and customer service.
How does this change things for a typical US or European company, a manufacturer, for instance?
For manufacturers, this is about automating complex internal and external processes. An AI agent could manage procurement workflows, verify invoices against purchase orders, or handle initial customer support for spare parts. It frees up human employees to focus on more complex, strategic work. This is a direct path to improving operational efficiency.
And for trading and distribution companies?
This technology is a game changer for logistics and client management. An AI agent could track shipments across multiple carriers, proactively notify clients of delays, and even initiate customs paperwork. For sales teams, it can automate the entire lead-to-quote process.
The key is that these agents integrate with existing systems, turning data into action.
What is the actionable insight for executives listening now?
Identify one high-volume, repetitive workflow in your sales, support, or operations department. Start a pilot project with one of these new enterprise agent platforms. The technology is now mature enough for deployment, and your competitors are already evaluating it. The goal is to build expertise in deploying and managing these autonomous systems securely.
With all this rapid development, the regulators are never far behind. The EU AI Act is a huge piece of legislation, and we have a key update on its timeline. What's happening?
The EU has granted a grace period for what it calls high-risk AI systems. Companies deploying AI in areas like medical devices or critical infrastructure now have until August 2028 to fully comply. However, and this is the critical part, transparency obligations for generative AI are taking effect much sooner, on August 2nd, 2026.
So, just a few weeks away, what do those transparency rules require?
They mandate that developers and deployers must clearly disclose to users when content is AI-generated or substantially modified. This applies to images, video, audio, and text, especially content that pertains to matters of public interest. If you generate a marketing image with AI, you will have a legal obligation to label it as such within the EU.
How does this specifically impact US and European manufacturers?
Any manufacturer using generative AI for product design, creating marketing materials, or even generating technical documentation for the European market must now implement a compliance workflow. You need a system to track and label AI-generated content. This isn't just a policy. It requires technical implementation. U.S. companies serving the EU market are fully subject to these rules.
And what about trading companies or distributors who might be using AI to generate product listings or customer communications?
The same rules apply. They must ensure their systems can flag and label AI-generated text or images. This is particularly important for e-commerce platforms. The principle is clear. The end user in the EU has a right to know if they are interacting with AI or consuming synthetic media. This will likely become a global standard, so it's best to adopt it everywhere.
The actionable insight here seems pretty straightforward.
It is. Executives must direct their legal and IT teams to immediately establish a clear policy and a technical process for labeling all AI-generated content destined for the public. Waiting until August 1st is too late. This is a fundamental compliance requirement for operating in the world's first major regulated AI market.
All right, Troy, let's wrap it up. What are the three key takeaways for our listeners this week?
First, the physical footprint of AI is now a first-order strategic concern. The industry's demand for energy and specialized hardware will impact electricity prices and supply chains for everyone. Executives must factor this into their operational planning.
Second,
the semiconductor arms race is creating more choice but also new complexities. The competition between AMD and NVIDIA isn't just about speeds and feeds. It's about specialized architectures for different workloads. Making the right hardware choice now requires a deeper technical understanding of your specific AI applications.
And finally,
enterprise AI agents are ready for deployment. Platforms from OpenAI, Salesforce, and others can now automate complex business workflows, delivering real productivity gains. But as you deploy them, the regulatory environment, led by the EU AI Act, demands immediate attention to transparency and labeling. The actionable mandate is to innovate and automate, but with a clear compliance strategy from day one.
From the power grid to the processor to the policy document, the AI revolution is reshaping our industrial landscape. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing.
Thank you for joining us.
I'm Susie. For Troy and the entire team, be sure to subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an insight. We'll talk to you next week.